Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 7th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, American beef has arrived in Japan. That for the first time in 3 years, at least for actual consumption. Yes, indeed, beef trade with the Asian nation is now considered open. And U.S. farmers spent about 26% more on fuel last year than in 2004. But if you're a farmer, you already knew that. Dave Dickey, of course, will have more on these and other stories later in the half hour. Oh, and just after that, we'll hear University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good's expectations for corn and soybean acreage across the globe and how that might change in future years in response to the United States' big push for ethanol made from corn. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we always check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy on Mondays to discuss the global agriculture weather forecast. It all happens right here on WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
We're joined on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the futures market by Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Well, Kurt's not there, as we thought he might not be, so we'll put him back on the line in a different way. Let's see if he shows up.
Hello.
Kurt, are you with us? Hi, Kurt. You are there. Are you with us, Kurt? Nope. Well, he can hear me, but obviously I can't hear him. So we'll put him on a different line, and we'll get started with that momentarily. But what we're going to do is we're going to bring you just what we usually do, and those are the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. On this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The Septembers at 484.5, they were off a penny and a half for the day. That in Kansas City, of course. September wheat in Chicago, 393, were down 3, and December futures were off 3.5 today. September corn futures at 239.75, off 5.25. December futures at 257, were down 5.25 as well. And the March corn futures at 271.25 were down a nickel for the day. The May contract down 5 cents. They finished at 280.25. The August soybeans at 563.25 were down 14.25 for the day. September futures were down 14.75 at 567.25. And the November beans at $5.82 were off 15 cents. November beans for 2006, once again, down 15 cents at $5.82 a bushel. August bean meal futures at $158.90 were off $4.30 for the day, and the August bean oil at $26.16 were down 0.25 for the day. Mercantile exchange numbers, August feeder cattle at $1.16, they were 87.5 cents higher for the day. The August live cattle at 85.42.5 were up 60 cents, and the October live cattle at 40 cents higher, $89.90 for the day. Lean hog futures, August contracts 71.42.5, they were up $1.45 for the day. The outside markets, crude oil, September contracts $77 even, $2.24 higher. The CRB index at 351.90, that up 1.85, and the dollar at 84.75, up 0.17 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,203 is now 36 points lower for the day. And the August oil, or rather August gold futures at $647.80, up $3.80 at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Kurt Kimmel, ingrained at Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois, should now be able to join us to talk about this afternoon's marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for bearing with us. We appreciate you being there. Tell me about this big drop we had in the bean pit and how it followed in the corn as well.
Well, the bean market was technically inclined as it moved below key support, that 590, 591 area. And the overnight trade is sort of open below their gap lower, and just sort of sat there all night long. And finished below that benchmark. And as the day session resumed trade here at 9:30, we had some additional selling pressure on long liquidation as the fundamental news is somewhat positive to bean development with real no extreme hot temperatures in the near-term forecast and some rain around, some better expected rains in some of the drier areas in the western belt. So that's going to help the bean crop. Then lastly, two ideas. This afternoon's crop conditions report will show a 1% to 3% improvement as a nation. So that was the negative fissure to push us down to some other key levels that need to hold in through here in order to sort of maybe get a recovery ahead of Friday's USD report. But the beans were the leader of the downside and spilled over into the corn and to the wheat pits also.
And would you expect follow-through again tonight and then tomorrow?
I would say follow-through, but stabilization. On the short-term indicators, we're back down to oversold levels. We got the report here towards the end of the week, so I think we'd see some stabilization. But definitely tonight's lower close is going to generate some margin call long liquidation for those who have been long trying to hang on here.
Is this just a continuation of the slide that we saw earlier in the year, in particular in last month and the last couple of weeks of last month?
Well, you got to go clear back to last spring. There in April, the November bean futures had a low of 585.5. Today's close is 282. The ideas were that this 590, 585 area would hold. That was sort of the lower end of the range. This range has been intact since clear back last December. So unless we can get back above 590 here in a short period of time, the trade is going to view that this is sort of a breakout to the downside, and it would indicate lower prices as we go into early harvest. So we need some type of positive numbers on Friday or return of some weather concerns to get the market excited about coming back in and supporting bean values.
And your expectations for Friday's reports from USDA and the crop production numbers?
Well, I think we'll probably be in this unchanged, a slightly better category. It's really a tough one to figure because you've got some excellent yield potential here in the eastern belt and the western belt. You got some pockets that's really suffered a lot. So how you average that out and balance, the USDA is their best indicator on that. They're going to have to take a lot of samples, which they do, a lot of surveys, which they do, and that's the best source in town to have an idea where this crop is. Now, give credit to the Pro Farmer Crop Tour coming up here. They do an excellent job, too, in on their visual observations. So not only with USDA at the end of the week, but Chip and the Pro Farmer Tour, too.
Yeah, and when do they take off? Do you recall how soon they'll be out and about? That's probably another couple of weeks away, isn't it?
It's within the next week or two, I think.
All right. And then if you turn your attention to the corn market, and I know you touched on it as we were talking about those USDA reports, but let's talk about the day's trade because there was a fairly large gap lower in the corn market as well. How do you make that out as a trade for the day?
We definitely gapped below the levels we were at last Thursday and Friday. The 56 area is 62% back to the late July low there, right at this benchmark above the 250 area. I believe that we'll probably need to keep an eye on the corn market real close at 256, 255. If we can hold there, maybe we can revisit the 260 area. But failure to hold there suggests we can go back and test 250. The thing is, with the corn crop, whether it's big or small, the traders are comfortable with we're going to have some ample supplies near term as bulk crop comes to town and finds a home before harvest. So it's going to be awful hard to rally December futures back above 265 unless some fundamental event develops or these beans take off and pull corn with it.
And you mean rally at least in the near term, but not and are you talking all the way to expiration for that December contract?
Well, I would feel that the December corn futures is sideways or lower until we get in the middle of September. As you look at the long-term cyclical work on the corn chart, it suggests we probably have some early harvest lows, and that would indicate some recovery going into 2007.
And just on the tech side, we're now below the 100 to 50, and, of course, the 20-day on
all those after the gap lower on the corn in the harvest month after today's trade. So now let's talk a little bit about what you see longer term, and maybe we should discuss the 2007 December corn contract and the possibilities that exist for producers there. Maybe time to start thinking about what that crop will look like, how many acres there might be, and what kind of sales and forward sales might be made for 2007. If you could discuss that just a bit for me.
Well, 2007, the futures is at 306. When you work with the elevators out that far, the basis varies from location to location, but it's not quite as bad as this 2006 crop. So there's some enthusiasm out there on that. The thing to remember, though, when you start talking $3 corn, producers' ears pick up quite a bit, and you're going to buy quite a few corn acres in the next year. We've recommended to go ahead and forward contracting 10% of an average production level with the idea we go higher, we can continue to scale into it. There's a lot of optimism out there due to the demand side of the equation, but with the promise or the opportunity to have higher prices, we're going to have a lot more corn acres. So one's going to offset the other, but I wouldn't be surprised to see some strength as we go in this winter as they buy the acres. But I'd be having some type of marketing plan to take advantage of that, because we're not going to go up to $4 to $5 right away. Some of these analysts, you know, talk about we're going to run out by 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll welcome that.
Yeah,
but we like making the cash sales. Then, like we're going to do this fall here, we're going to replace it back on paper, because if we do have an extended rally to the upside, we believe it's going to be on paper. So we like to have a good cash marketing program, move the cash, and replace ownership on paper. So if these analysts are right, we run out, the funds will run the board up, not the cash market.
It was a good day over on the Mercantile Exchange. Lean hogs were up $1.45. Cattle rallied just a bit, up 87.5 cents in the August feeders. Live cattle August contract up 60 cents. And the first shipments actually have arrived in Japan of American beef.
Yeah, it's been a so-called political event here over time, but that reopening of that market is welcomed. Their inspector's going to look it over with a magnifying glass, and we'll see how that goes. But no, that's best news the beef market could receive, because typically, seasonally, as we go through the summer, demand slows and prices slide. So this sort of keeps the front end position. Maybe we can see some cash cattle trade this 83, 84 cent level over time.
Kurt, thanks much for being with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region, it'll be mostly clear. Then in particular in the north. In the central and southern sections, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, says Ed. Lows will range from 59 in the north to 72 in the south. Tomorrow in the north, mostly sunny. In central sections, partly sunny. Some lingering showers, a few thunderstorms will be possible in some locations that early in the day. In the south, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 77 in the far north to around 90 in the south. And tomorrow, wind speeds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities ranging between 45 and 60%. Dave Dickey's here now with a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Japan today imported its first shipment of American beef since January, resuming a once-booming business that has been crippled for nearly 3 years over fears of mad cow disease. Today's shipment, which follows the latest easing of the beef ban on July 27th, came from U.S. beef giant Cargill. The 5.1 metric tons of American chilled beef arrived on a cargo flight at an airport just east of Tokyo, and its importer and government officials are expected to inspect it tomorrow. Airport inspectors and health ministry officials say they will scrutinize the entire shipment in a three-tiered process to make sure no banned products slip through. U.S. farm production expenditures rose 5.3% in 2005. USDA reports the largest contributor to higher costs was fuel, up 26.3% from 2004. Midwestern producers had expenses of $63.6 billion in 2005, up 5.4% from the 2004 level of $60.4 billion. U.S. senators went home for their August recess without passing a bill to raise the minimum wage and permanently reduce estate taxes. Senators fell three votes short of ending debate and calling the bill to a vote. Assistant Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, speaking on the Senate floor after the vote, said he just doesn't understand the problem with the bill.
Each of the three parts of this bill are supported by a bipartisan majority of the United States Senate. So what could possibly be wrong with passing the three bills together, since they are each supported by a bipartisan majority of the Senate? What's going on here, Mr. President, is block and blame.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, in a technical move, changed his vote from yes to no to end debate. That means he can bring up the bill again after the August recess.
With my switch vote, I preserved the procedural option to bring the bill back as a package. I hope that the Democratic senators will rethink long and hard over the weeks to come before we return for business in September.
Members of both the House and Senate will return on September 5th. Brokers, elevator operators, and agronomists are suggesting Central Illinois producers will be harvesting their corn a week or two earlier than usual, especially with another round of temperatures in the 90s projected for the coming week. In dry areas of Illinois, the corn crop is already starting to lose husk color and ears are starting to drop. Growing degree days have accumulated faster than normal. The Illinois State Water Survey says between I-70 and I-64, GDDs are on average 583 above normal. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willlag.org. That's willlag.org. There you'll find the latest AM 580 Fall Ag Outlook panels that have been scheduled, including one at the AgriGold Research Farm in Tuscola. That's August the 16th. Mike Zuzulo will be there, Pete Manhart, and Bill Mayer. On the 17th, they're in Decatur at the Decatur Conference Center. U of I basketball coach Bruce Weber will be there, along with Tom Fritz and Lee Goss, Steve Erdman of EFG Group, and risk management commodities folks out of Lafayette, Indiana. Those just a couple of a whole series of Ag Outlook panels that are scheduled for this fall. Drop by our website at willlag.org for complete details. Well, up next, the U.S. will have to raise more corn if demand for ethanol is to be met in the future. Most market watchers believe the price of corn must increase enough to buy more corn acres. The 2007 and 2008 December corn contracts traded at the Chicago Board of Trade have been above $3 a bushel for quite some time. They are an example of how the market is used to entice farmers into meeting growing demand for corn from the renewable fuel sector, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good.
Clearly, if that's going to happen, and we also have a slowly expanding livestock industry, and we have continued strong exports, then production has to expand on corn. And so a price has to be high enough on corn that we get the necessary level of production.
This production increase should come in part from the normal yearly increase in corn yields. U.S. farmers have generally managed to increase year-to-year yields by about 1 to 1.5 bushels to an acre annually. And Darrell Good says this increase will not be enough to meet the growing demand for corn from the ethanol, livestock, and export sectors. That's why the price of corn in 2007 and 2008 is above $3 a bushel, and for December of this year, it is about $2.50 a bushel. The market is telling farmers to grow more corn in the future.
Now, the other question then is, what's going to happen to the demand of the products, the crops that we're pushing out of production, if biodiesel demand continues to expand or increases? Some would argue, well, we need more soybeans too. How can you have more corn, more soybeans with a fixed land base? I think then that suggests that perhaps soybean production will have to come from someplace else, obviously South America or Brazil. So when you look at corn and soybean prices, you say corn has to be high enough to encourage U.S. producers to continue to expand. In the near future, soybean prices, the barometer there will be prices will have to be high enough that Brazilian farmers expand soybean production. And so I think that's really how we're going to look at markets as we move forward.
So the world price of soybeans will have to be high enough to keep Brazilian farmers expanding their production and picking up the slack from the United States. The price of corn will have to be high enough to keep U.S. farmers from planting some of those higher-priced bean acres that will be going to Brazil and to make up for the increased input cost. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the basis levels here in Champaign County, please.
Basis has widened quite a bit over the past week, not just here in Champaign, but nationwide. It looks like people are figuring out that there's a pretty good crop out there. People have been selling and reserving space, and looking like the feeder market is continuing to be hand-to-mouth and not really willing to bid up for grain this fall, and just knowing that there's a lot of crop out there that they'll be able to purchase.
Old crop basis widening as well?
Not so much. Old crop and new crop will come together to be the same price, and so old crop still at 18 under on the corn, 20 under on the beans, and that's just about where we're at on fall prices.
And then everything following suit this afternoon, you think, will it widen out just a bit with the drop today at the Chicago Board of Trade? So you're going to lose more than the 14 cents in the bean market?
I don't think so. I have a feeling things will probably stabilize here, and probably until the report comes out this Friday, I wouldn't expect any more basis movement, unless the railroads come out and have some other bids, but as I'm seeing things right now, it looks to be about the same as we closed up last week.
Storage going to be tight this fall?
Yeah. It looks like a lot of people held on to grain on farm and delivered it this summer, and a lot of people are going to carry grain on through into the fall. I would say we're looking at a pretty good crop here in central Illinois, so I would expect to see a lot of ground piles around.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn, 222. Soybeans, 547, and cash wheat, 343.
One other note, I heard, Wyatt, that you plowed up the sweet corn plots, but I didn't manage to get out there. So next year, I'm expecting a little more from you at the Andersons. What do you think?
Well, you know the sweet corn was planted. We're here every day. You're welcome to stop by. You drive by on your way to Mahomet.
Oh, I was so terribly sad when I heard that happen. Anyway, you have a good day. Thanks
too,
much,
Wyatt.
Yeah, Wyatt,
thanks. Bye.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons right there in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Republican gubernatorial candidate Judy Bartapinka promised today she would release her education plan soon, offering few specifics about it, but pledging it will be funded. Speaking at a Chicago candidates forum that Governor Rob Blagojevich did not attend, Topinka said key ideas include increasing the minimum amount the state ensures is available for schools to spend on each child. A Blagojevich campaign spokesman criticized Topinka for offering no education ideas. A University of Illinois professor doesn't think the National Electric Transmission Network is keeping up with the times. George Gross points to the burden placed on the grid by last week's heat wave as a sign that the system suffers from a lack of ongoing investment to make improvements. But he says almost all of the nation's power outages over the past 2 weeks were due to problems in local distribution systems, not the massive network of high-voltage lines that bring power to them. Three out of four Denny's dry cleaning stores in Champaign-Urbana shut their doors late last week when owner Denny Linscomb filed for bankruptcy protection. The Illinois Attorney General's office is collecting complaints from customers whose laundry sitting inside the shuttered stores. Meanwhile, an assistant with the court-appointed trustees for Denny's Cleaners says no decision has been made yet on when to reopen the stores to let people pick up clothes. The Denny's Cleaners franchise store on South Madison, Champaign, is still open for business. In Indiana, the Marion County prosecutor is beefing up his homicide unit after a series of fatal shootings in Indianapolis. Prosecutor Carl Britzy says he'll add six deputy prosecutors to the unit, bringing the total number to 12. More Indianapolis police officers are also being put on street patrol. The $50 million World Shooting and Recreational Complex in Sparta, in southern Illinois, begins hosting its first-ever Grand American Championship tomorrow. That's the nation's largest shooting competition, and it runs through August 18th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Usually on Monday afternoons, the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago join us. We're told this afternoon that Mark Russo has taken the week off, so he's not available. Or rather, John has taken the week off, and Mark Russo had to step out of the office a little early this afternoon. That's all right, because we do have our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser's forecast for the two-state region. He says tonight across the two states in the north, mostly clear skies in the central and southern sections, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms in our weather forecast. Lows will range from 59 in the north to 72 in the south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in the north, mostly sunny. In central sections, partly sunny. Some lingering showers, a few thunderstorms will be possible in some locations early. And in the south, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 77 in the far north to around 90 in the south. That, of course, the printed word from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He happens to join us in the studio to take a more complete look at what might happen the rest of the week. Ed, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Well, good to be here. As far as the rest of the week goes, we're going to have another, I think, cluster of showers and thunderstorms coming through the two-state area and much of the Midwest Tuesday night, especially late Tuesday night into Wednesday. And then after that, there will be some scattered showers and thunderstorms on a daily basis. It's not going to rain in any particular location every single day, but we'll keep the chances of rain because we're going to be on the edge of a hot dome of air, which is going to be centered over the Rocky Mountains and plains, and cooler air to our north and northeast. So we'll be in an area where from time to time showers and thunderstorms will fire up. And of course, we already have seen some of that today.
Climatically, July a little different than most Julys this year?
Well, it was a mixed scenario. The numbers on rainfall were highly variable, some places getting too much rain, as we heard about localized flooding. But all in all, it wasn't an extremely strange July. The hot dome of air, the extreme heat did stay to our west. We had a few really hot periods at the end of the month, but nothing that we haven't seen before.
In August, setting up fairly normally as well.
So far, I think temperatures are going to at times run a few degrees warmer than average, but we're not looking at any cold air in the next week or so at least, and we're certainly not going to see any extreme episodes of heat. Our average high right around central Illinois through the month is 83 and the low about 63. And when we have a cloudy, wet day, the high temperature will be a little below that. But on most days, I think we'll be above 83 for a high, mid to upper 80s in general. And our overnight lows will generally stay above that 63-degree mark. So good temperatures for growing crops.
Thanks much, Ed, and we appreciate you stepping in on short notice.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist here at WILL AM 580, stepping in this afternoon for Mark Russo and John Davis, who were out of the office at Chesapeake Energy. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report with your director of agricultural programming here at the radio station, Dave Dickey. And don't forget to visit our website at WILLAG.org to pick up all the latest information on the USDA crop production reports. And, of course, the crop weather reports as well will be posted there very soon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon. We'll